guy named Tim Keller that has really blessed me, and I know I gave a copy to Owen, and he liked it so much. Some of you high schoolers might be familiar with it. You need to hear it again. or you can just go deaf to it. Because I really believe Ash Wednesday in Lent is about repentance. And I believe the church has been infiltrated with a man-centered religion and not a God-centered religion. And so I would love to encourage all of us to take a look at what we really believe and the thing behind the thing and ask ourselves, is our Christianity about us or about God? Is it about religion? And I'm saying religion in a negative sense. In the Bible, sometimes they have religion used in a positive sense. Pure religion is to take care of the widows and the orphans. That's not negative. That's positive. And other times it's used kind of in a negative sense. And so when I talk about religion, I'm talking about a negative sense. In Lutheran circles, if you've ever heard people teach on law and gospel, religion would kind of come under the aspect of the law. And so I'm hoping that here God will shine some light on the motives and thoughts of our hearts as we look at the difference between religion and the gospel, religion-centered. And I'm just going to kind of do slides like this. Religion says this: if I obey God, then I'm accepted by God. If I do it right, if I obey him, he accepts me. And the gospel says, I'm accepted, therefore I obey. I'm accepted. Now, this gospel goes against your natural grain, right? All other religions are all about, you know, the scales. You do well, God accepts you. The gospel says, I'm accepted, therefore I obey. Religion is, motivation is based on fear and insecurity. How much is enough? I got to do a little bit more. You know, if I strap this bomb to my body and blow myself up, then I get paradise, right? I'm serious. That's religion. And in its worst. And the gospel says, I discover joy in Christ. And that joy motivates me. Jesus Christ, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the Father. There's a joy in Christianity. That as you abide in me, your joy is made full. So there's a joy that is gospel motivated. Okay. That's a baby picture. No, religion says when circumstances in life go wrong, I'm angry at God or myself, since I believe, like Job's friends, that anyone who's good deserves a comfortable life. You know what religion says? God, how could you do this to me? I mean, I've been a good Christian for 37 years, and you allow this to happen to me? It's like I pay my taxes, and I deserve my religious taxes, and I deserve good stuff coming back. How could you do this to me, religion says. And the gospel says, when circumstances in life go wrong, I struggle, but I know all my punishment fell on Jesus. Everything. And that while he may allow this for my training, he will exercise his fatherly love within my trials. It's like, God, this is for my good. I'm not being punished for anything. You bore 100% of the punishment on the cross. Thank you, Jesus. And although this is painful and although this situation is difficult, you love me in the midst of this difficult situation. That's the gospel. Religion says when I'm criticized, I'm furious or devastated because it's critical that I think of myself as a good person. Threats to my self-image must be destroyed at all costs. Do you get this? I mean, when somebody criticizes you, what happens inside of you? Religion can get really strange. The gospel says when I'm criticized, I struggle. But it's not critical for me to think of myself as a good person. My identity is not built on my record or my performance, but on God's love for me in Christ. So sometimes people will lie. I heard a pastor say that. He goes, you know, my wife confronted me, and she's like, you just lied to that person on the phone. And he's like, yeah, I did. And he goes, but I didn't lie to be mean or anything. The reason I lied was that he asked me to do something and I forgot it. And when he said, hey, have you done it? It's like, I'm working on it. I should have it done tomorrow. You know, why did he lie? Out of fear, right? And it's not really a bad thing. He's a people pleaser. I'm a people pleaser. People pleasers don't want to rock the boat. They want to please people. It's a little easier to tell this white lie than to allow the truth to get out, because you might get devalued in their eyes. You know what's happening here? When you do that, you are operating with a functional Savior that's not Jesus Christ. See, in your head and your heart, you're saying, Jesus is Lord, he died for my sins, everything's great, but you're functioning as if you're your Savior, because you need to lie to save yourself. Do you see that? And you bolster that Savior, because this Savior of myself will save me. Now, to make it even sicker, you know what happens many times in the church when your sin is found out? You say, bad Christian. How could I do something so badly? Or bad pastor. How could I do something so badly? I need to work harder to be a better person. And I can appear better. I can do better. You know what's happening? You're strengthening the wicked idol of yourself. All of a sudden, it's still all about you. And if I just work a little harder, people won't see my faults. It's not this. It's not. My identity is built on Jesus Christ and what he's done for me. See, you use this kind of desire for goodness, this desire to appear better, this pseudo-God that you've made in your own image, and you've bolstered it with sin and wickedness. Instead of just letting it die and saying, yes, I'm a sinner, and letting the grace of God define you. Do you see that? It's subtle. It sinks in, and it's religion, and it's not Christianity. Religion says my prayer life largely consists of petitions, and it only heats up when I'm in a time of need. Something goes on, somebody dies, you get cancer, you get something, it's like pray like crazy. Because my main purpose is to control my environment. It's like I pray because I want to be in control and I want to do stuff, and if I say the right prayers, do it the right way, I can somehow control God, control my environment, and this is what my prayer life is all about. And it's religion. Three times a day, you know. The gospel prayer life consists of generous stretches of praise, adoration, and the main purpose is communion, koinonia, fellowship with the Father. You may sit and say nothing, but just meditate on the Word and meditate on the reality of God in your midst, and you may sing a song, and it's a whole different thing. It's a being. And the other is a controlling, manipulating your environment. It's still about you under religion. In religion, my self-view swings between two poles. If I'm living up to my standards, I feel confident, and then I'm prone to be proud and unsympathetic to the feelings of others. You know, it's like, I'm doing pretty good, and those people aren't doing so good. You know, and you start kind of looking down your nose at them. I mean, I see this in me, and it makes me sick, and I'm like, you know, somehow, when you're feeling good, when you haven't stumbled to any of your defined sins, you know what I'm saying, for a day, 2 days, a week, you know what I'm saying, however, you start feeling good about yourself and feeling, because you're defining yourself by your own ability to be good. And now I feel good because I'm doing good. And then you judge others. And those guys, they're not doing so good over there. You know, they need some help. Mm-hmm. That's religion. That's religion all the way. The gospel says my self-view is based not on myself as a moral achiever. In Christ, I am a sinner and a saint at the same time. In Christ, right now, I have reason to feel bad, even when I think I'm doing great. And in Christ, I have reason to feel good, even when I know I've done bad. Because in him, I'm simultaneously sinner-saint. I'm simultaneously sinful and lost, yet accepted in Christ. I'm so bad, he had to die for me. And I'm so loved, he was glad to. I'm so bad he died for me, and I'm so loved that he's glad to. That's what defines us as people.